The text for this afternoon's message is from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with us, or me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. This is the gospel and the text for our message. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we near the end of our Lenten meditation upon Jesus for us, according to the great hymn, "O Love, How Deep," we return to an aspect of our earlier meditation. This hymn has brought to light in a poignant way the very true love of God for us, for all sinners. Early on, attention was drawn to the very fact that God did not send an angel into our flesh in order to save us. And God did not become an angel to save angels. Instead, he chose to become a man to save mankind. The holy angels have accepted this reality and humbly worship and praise God for this, his great sign of grace. What about the unholy angels? We know them better as demons, but fallen angels is what they are. God did not create anything to be evil. All that he made was indeed very good, including all of the angels. So what happened? And how does that impact everything in history and thus today? Now, to be sure, we are never told precisely what happened with the angels. It is fairly safe to say they were part of God's creation in the first 6 days of his work, their time of testing, and thus their opportunity to reject God must have been before Adam and Eve's fall into sin. St. Paul later warns Pastor Timothy that new converts to Christianity should not become pastors yet because they may become conceited and suffer the same judgment as the devil. Many theologians then throughout history have considered Satan's original sin as that of pride. But what exactly was Satan too proud of to accept from God? And that we are not told. Based on our readings from Hebrews a couple of weeks earlier, it may have to do well with what God had promised to do, to send his own son to become mortal, to become a human being in order to save human sinners, rather than become an angel or to send an angel to save angels. And if that was part of the testing for the angels, that could certainly have led to Satan's fall. In Revelation chapter 12, we hear of the great red dragon who swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Other parts of Revelation speak of those stars as angels. So the idea of one third of the angels fell with Satan is drawn from those words. The book of Job sees the angels of God presenting themselves before God in heaven and pictures Satan right there in the midst of them. Satan and the fallen angels are thus permitted to roam freely throughout the earth. St. Paul later says of Satan, like a roaring lion he goes, seeking any he can to devour. The intent of the fallen angels is only evil all the time. They want to harm all of mankind, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And they are good at what they do, for they have been at work ever since the fall into sin, well over 6,000 years. Great Lutheran theologian Francis Pieper wrote that the unbelieving world is controlled by the devil and the fallen angels. Of course, we are by nature sinful and unclean, as we confess, since we have inherited from Adam our own sin. By nature, then, we are the natural born enemies of God. Jesus spoke of Satan as the strong man, and this world in which we live is Satan's house. All then who are born into this world belong to the devil and to his angels. This is what we confess in our baptismal liturgy. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and the power and everlasting condemnation. For in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, "You were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." While God is, of course, God over all things, the devil is still the prince of this world. He is having his little season now, permitted by God to do his worst work. But as Luther rightly understood, the devil is still God's devil. Even what Satan is busy doing is not beyond God's power to work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And the greatest demonstration of that sacred truth is with Jesus himself. Not once does Jesus ever show any weakness in the presence of the demons or of the devil. Even after 40 days of no food, Jesus strongly resisted the temptations of the tempter. And as in the gospel reading for today, Jesus has complete and total lordship, ownership over all of the fallen angels. In fact, they are the first in creation in Jesus' ministry to recognize who he truly is. "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Their knowledge of who Jesus is more evidence that they despise God's plan of sending his beloved Son into our human flesh. And note the reaction of the demon whose name is Legion. It is fear. Complete and utter fear. For this powerful demon who had bound this man for so long cowered before Jesus. He even admits to the eternal punishment that awaits him and Satan and all whom the dragon has swept down away from God. While the demon in this case does most of the talking, he has the least power. And this is true in many ways for us as well. We are rather proficient at excusing away our sins and talking our way out of trouble, but into more evil. We also face the evil found in others and try to reason with them for peace and resolution. But sadly, there does come a time when such speaking is futile. The only option is firm rebuke, as the Lord Jesus does with the demon. "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit, and get behind me, Satan," as Jesus said to his own beloved disciple, Peter. The devil and the fallen angels continue on in their work against God, against his people, and against his holy church. It is important to remember that the devil and his angels are still limited. They are not equals to God, not even close. They cannot be in all places at all times. And unless there are more angels than humans, the chance that a demon is attacking you specifically is not as great as you might think. For our sinful nature is quite treacherous and poisonous in and of itself. But certainly we are surrounded constantly by the evil of the devil and of his fallen angels. This does remain the prowling ground of Satan, but he too is chained. He is limited, and he is held in check now and forever by what the Lord Jesus has already accomplished. For into the world governed by the darkness and the sin and the treachery of Satan came Jesus, the Son of God, the light of the world. God's own Son was immaculately conceived, being free from sin. Blow one against the devil. The devil, though, threw every single temptation at Jesus that he could, desperate for any kind of win. But no success. Jesus resisted every one. Blow two against the devil. Satan even rejoiced at the very death of Jesus upon the cross, thinking that victory was now in his grasp. But the resurrection of Christ 3 days later was blow three. The devil and his angels lie in ruins. They are constantly butting up now against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is continually proclaimed throughout the world. And through baptism, more and more goods are being plundered from the strong man and secured in the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus has granted the very perfect and complete healing from all demons. And on the last day, when Christ comes again in his great power and glory, forever will the devil and the fallen angels be cast away from you to the place created for them, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And off you will go into the very bliss of paradise with the Lord Jesus leading you forever. Amen. Now the peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.